follow that, but I will try. I want to begin this talk by recounting a few reports from the Nauru files, a massive leak of reports and incidents from the Nauru refugee camp. Of the hundreds of reports, the most common occurrence was self-harm, with 155 counts. One of the incidents talks of a refugee picking up two or three rocks and swallowing them, only stopping when they were restrained. Another reads, male asylum seeker standing, assisted by a female asylum seeker. He was bleeding from the left wrist. There were three cuts to his left wrist area. And another, a refugee who witnessed yet another refugee self-harm, asked a guard, do I have to kill myself to get to Australia? What type of place makes a person try to kill themselves? Do I have to kill myself to get to Australia? These words are haunting, and they reflect the horrible realities for refugees who have found themselves in Australia's island concentration camps. 45 deaths have happened in onshore and offshore detention centres, and 14 have occurred on Manus Island or Nauru.
Shame.
And whilst the government has closed the Manus Island Detention Centre, refugees still, of course, remain on these on the islands. Told they'll never be able to settle in Australia, they've been left in one of the poorest nations in the world. Just this month on Manus Island, a group of men were transferred from a prison complex, transferred to a prison complex. Bruce Bushani accused the PNG government of targeting men for punishment and of seeking to prevent their transfer to Australia under the Medivac system, for several of which had been approved. This is a policy of barbarity and cruelty, and horrifically, it has given inspiration to other governments around the world. Trump recently tweeted his support for the Australian government anti-immigration propaganda, saying much was to be learned on our policy of illegal immigration. And as we can see, Trump, he has been learning. The American government has increased a policy of immigration raids. This means storming into people's houses, throwing them in trucks and taking them to detention centres. There are now 200 of these facilities across the US, and over the last few months, 24 people have died whilst being held in them. Six were children. Just this month, immigration agents in the US have been given the power to unilaterally question, arrest, detain and deport undocumented immigrants who have been there for less than 2 years, that they encounter anywhere in the country. And this has meant that ICE agents are being given free range to enter into communities and terrorise these people. A young man who was residing in the US legally was scooped up by these authorities and held in detention for 26 days until a news story was ran documenting his illegal arrest. And conditions in these camps are squalid, with a young woman dying from an infection after asking to receive medical treatment. And children who have been separated from their parents are being denied basic rights such as soap. In response from outrage from people and communities across the state, a government spokesperson said, they have to follow our laws. They have to abide by our rules. They have to come here legally or they shouldn't come here at all. America and Australia are currently governed by some of the most right-wing and conservative politicians in the world, but the Democrats and the Labor Party aren't any better. Obama was responsible for the most amount of deportations under any American president, and there's been a massive increase in people held in detention facilities. So in 95, the year that I was born, 85,000 people were held in detention facilities, and this increased to 477,523 people during 2012. So a massive increase. So this was the year Obama won his second term of his presidency. And it was Julia Gillard who excised the mainland from the migration zone. That is, Australia looked at a map of Australia and they said, these borders, they're no longer real for refugees who attempt to come here. If they land on our shores, they haven't really, and so they have no responsibility to deal with them or their claim to seek asylum. And it was the Gillard government that reopened Manus Island and Nauru. And in 2013, it was the Rudd government who declared that no refugee who arrived by boat would be settled in Australia and released the propaganda that Trump is retweeting here. And just this month, it's Christina Keneally, the Labor Party opposition, who said that, Australia is being overrun by plain people, actually outstripping the Liberal government from the right. And it's the case that all around the world, no matter if the government is controlled by Conservatives or Liberals, border control and refugee detainment reign supreme. Borders are the building blocks of capitalist nations. Borders define nations, maintain national markets, or in the words of the government agency that presides over this racist system, the Australian Border Force, which is a militarised department that has thousands of armed guards clad out in military-style uniforms, armed with weapons, with the power to arrest. They say, our border is a national asset. It holds economic, social and strategic value for our nation. Borders allow states to decide who and what enters a country and on what basis. And these borders are backed up and justified by nationalism. And so I want to go back to the Border Force, their mission statement, which you can find on their snazzy website. It says, the border is not a line on a map. Our focus is on the border in the sense of a complex continuum stretching ahead and behind the border, including the physical border. It is a space that enables and controls the flow of people and the movement of goods through complex supply chains. We call this the border continuum. So I think capitalism likes borders because it means policing the flow of people according to the needs of the nation at any given time. And I've been talking about the United States, a nation that has been built off the labour of people who have come from other nations. Their restrictive policy and militarised borders, these don't stop people from coming into America. But it means when they do enter into the States, they're illegal and therefore precarious and open to extreme exploitation. And to us, borders can seem pretty natural, especially like when we lived on an island nation and so it just seems like the borders, they're just the sea or whatever. But this wasn't always the case. And the idea of an Australian nation is a pretty new one. I mean, of course, you have to start with the genocide and displacement of Indigenous communities. But even this wasn't necessarily enough to create Australia. There was still just a set of colonies with actually quite sharp borders that were starting to be drawn between them. Tariffs were even being spoken about between New South Wales and Victoria. And I mean, an alternate reality could have meant that I'd have to get a passport and a visa to come from Melbourne up to the Sydney Socialism Conference. But to really solidify the Australian state, the ruling class needed something that would allow the fostering of a national identity. And for this, they turned to fear and loathing of some outside force. And in the Chinese, they found a very easy target. The Australian nation was synonymous with the White Australia policy. This was the age of the yellow peril. By creating a scapegoat that was supposedly a threat to us, all Australians' way of life, job security and general safety, a situation was created where people could rally around the Australian state and government, something that was actually extraordinarily repressive and the real threat to working class Australians. This othering and racism helped to solidify both the borders and the nation state, and this has happened all the way through Australian history. And it's always linked up with Australian imperial interests and ambitions. Whether the Chinese, the Irish, Italians, Lebanese, Muslims or refugees, the Australian state always has a target. Racism is a very important tool for capitalist nations. It distracts people from the real divide in society, that of class. This class divide where the rich and the powerful capitalist class parasite off of the labour of the working class is a reality for people the world over. And this means that the working class across the globe actually have a common interest in uniting together to resist the class that is oppressing them. Racism obscures this reality. Racism means that people begin to identify with their own ruling class and to support the interests of the nation above their own interests. It means binding the working class with their oppressors. And this racism can mean that the government is able to get away with more without people resisting. So this is from the Border Force website. Pretty dystopian. All right, do you want to go next? We can just end on done space. With Australia locking up refugees on Menas Island and Nauru, and with detention centres within Australia, they've been fostering rabid racism towards refugees. Because many of these refugees come from the Middle East, they've coupled it with an intense rise in Islamophobia. This has meant they've also been able to ramp up the repressive apparatus of the state. First, it was the Australian Border Force, which is a multi-million dollar agency with over 20,000 agents. And Peter Dutton has also created a whole new department called the Department of Home Affairs, which makes it easier to deploy the army internally and sees a linking up of the military with police departments. This means the further militarisation of the country's policing activities and helps to normalise the participation of the Australian Defence Forces in domestic life. This has all happened while the government has led a constant charge against refugees and asylum seekers, linking them with the idea of terrorism, calling them threats to our country, and killing and torturing them in detention centres. All right, let's get off Dutton's face. We need to stand in solidarity with every refugee locked up in these barbarous detention centres. We need to build every demonstration in support of refugee rights with vigour and build the movement of our side. And in the past, we've actually had some small wins. We've stopped refugees from being deported when brave individuals have stood up on planes when refugees have been put on them, saying, "I will not sit down until this refugee is taken off this plane." We've forced Tony Abbott's government to halt the rollout of a system that would have meant brown people could be stopped in the street and forced to show their visas. We did this with a protest and occupation of Flinders Street Station, which is behind that tram. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, sorry. But we need to do more than this. To really end the system of border control and detention, we need to tear the whole system down. Mm. Because Manus Island and Nauru and all detention centres, these are not aberrations. These are not extraordinary. They're symptomatic of a sick system which requires racism and militarised borders just to maintain the status quo. To really fight for refugee rights, we need a revolution. And I want to finish with the words of Pia Klomp, the German ship captain who rescued migrants in the Mediterranean. And she said these words as she refused a medal from the mayor of Paris. "I'm not a humanitarian. I'm not here to aid. I stand in solidarity. We do not need medals. We do not need authorities deciding who is hero and who is illegal. In fact, they are in no position to make this call because we are all equal. What we need are freedom and rights. It's time we call out the hypocrite honouring and fill the void with social justice. It is time we cast all medals into the spearheads of revolution."
Woo!
Oh, so good.